This is Rudy Maxa, and you're on a journey with the Savvy Traveler, where we're rejoining Sandy Tolan as he makes his way up the Andean Mountains of Peru to witness an ancient religious ceremony.
A line of pilgrims moves through the steep hills, laden with sleeping rolls and blankets. The hill is awash in color, black and red and yellow and green from the intricate weave of shirts and sweaters and caps, each distinct to its own village. At the head of one group, a man carries a staff draped by a headdress of macaw feathers. Following, women in red shawls and bowler hats, pots and pans slung on their backs. Then a man carrying the Nacion's icon, a wooden shrine of Jesus surrounded by native dancers. And then the band, wooden flutes and drums and trumpets glinting in the late morning sun.
In 4 days, 100,000 people.
Feliciano, our guide, says we are witness to one of the biggest religious pilgrimages in the Andes.
Collo Riti, the number is Collo, this is the star.
This is star?
Yes. The Riti, this is the snow. The snow star.
Snow star?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
As we labor up the mountainside, Feliciano struggles to explain in English. Collo Riti means Star of the Snows in Quechua. It's a festival that combines masses in a Catholic church with a solemn moonlit trek up to a dangerous glacier to pay homage to the Apus, the mountain gods of the Incas.
For the Incas, this is a very important sacred mountain because this is the origin of the rivers. This is the high peak in the Cusco region. The high peak. No, it is sacred mountain Usangati, very important for the Incas.
It's an intermingling of traditions, or what the anthropologists call syncretism. Every half mile, we come to a shrine with green and white Catholic crosses and a village band paying tribute. Yet the pilgrims also make indigenous offerings at these crosses, seashells, coca leaves, bits of llama hide burned and buried beside the crosses, before moving on up toward the glacier. We arrive near the base of the glacier, sloping pale green valley below an oval of white.
It's just really hard to describe what's going on. The hills are just filled with people. There are thousands of people here. And just dozens of processions going on all at once. All these different bands playing.
The hill across the valley seems to be crawling, but it is people, thousands of people in movement, carrying their brass instruments and wooden flutes, spinning in circles of elaborate dance, and pitching tarps and tents, making the mountain a speckled plastic blue.
It's like the mountain is breathing, alive.
At the center of the valley, a Catholic church built upon a rock that is said to be an ancient Incan shrine. The Spaniards placed the image of Jesus here, declaring the rock a place of Christian miracle. All around, the hundreds of bands from across the Peruvian Andes play in cacophonic tribute to both traditions.
Basically, a lot of people come here to worship the glaciers. The ice has nothing to do with Christianity.
I stand overlooking the church and the twirling dancers with my tentmate, Vicente Revilla, a Peruvian from Cusco, married to an American and living in Brooklyn. He's a librarian by profession, a photographer and researcher by passion, trying to sort out this question of dual Andean identity.
It is a Catholic ritual. But it is a Catholic ritual by force, because Collo Riti was celebrated before Christianity came into the New World. So what the Christians did, or what the Spaniards did when they came here to this part of Peru, which is here in the mountains, they had to find a way to take away that faith. It's a very complicated issue. what are we worshiping today here in Coyote? Are we worshiping the glaciers, or are we worshiping Christ?
For many, the heart of the worship lies in the journey of the bear men, the Ukupus. And there they are, two of them, standing just below us, young men dressed in black shag made to look like fur, white wool masks pulled over their faces, speaking in falsetto to hide their identity. The Ukukus are dancers, singers, clowns, policemen, and heroes of Koyuriti. In a few hours at midnight, they will hike up to the glacier. Hundreds will go. Carrying ice picks and whips made of rope, they will saw out chunks of the snowpack. This is the sacred water that moves from the Andes all the way to the Amazon and out to the Atlantic, a journey of nearly 4,000 miles. Here, above the headwaters, this pilgrimage has been made for centuries. Before the Spaniards, even before the Incas built their empire. Up in the glacier, condemned spirits await the Ukukus. Naked, in chains, these condenados are forever climbing the glacier to seek salvation, forever slipping back down their eternal path of ice. Some Ukukus will do battle with the condenado spirits, pirouetting on the slippery glacier, risking death at each step. We go in faith, these Ukukus say, faith in Jesus, faith in the Apus, faith that they will return, even though most every year, some do not.
Some Ukukus want to die because they want to be part of the glacier, part of the snow, part of the mountain. So this is that farewell around 12 o'clock, and they hug each other. They say bye-bye, basically. They need it because they don't know who's going to come back and who's going to be dead.
For those Ukukus who don't come back, Vicente said, there would be no tears, for they would become part of the glacier, part of God. We head back to our tent to get ready for the approaching cold. June in the southern hemisphere means winter, and even though we're only 500 miles from the equator, at 15,000 feet, it will get below freezing tonight. Many years, the cold kills a few of the youngest, covered only by bedrolls and plastic tarps.
You have hats, right, for tonight?
Yeah, I have a couple of them.
Yeah.
Scarves, too.
Yeah.
We lie on our backs, staring up at our little blue ceiling.
This is cool, you know? This is somewhere else. What's your feeling, Cynthia, when you see, when we were standing out there today, or when you come here and you see this, you've been here before, I mean, what's the feeling that you get?
I grew up in Cusco. I lived there my first 20 years, and then I moved to the States and went to college in the States, and I work in the States. I feel always that I'm missing something. See, it's very confusing because to say, but I had to come back here to nurture myself with something that's mine, something that's especially unique to myself. It's wonderful.
Do you want to elaborate?
I don't know, it's confusing, but I think it has to do with syncretism, what that happens within myself too. I tend to live two worlds at the same time. So it's, I don't know, I guess I'm trying to find my own identity in the world too.